Tonight, we're continuing our study of opening up Proverbs, and we have tonight and then one more study next week. And tonight, we're looking at what Proverbs has to say to leaders and how leaders can appropriate God's wisdom for their lives. And one of the reasons that Proverbs has a lot to say about this is just because of the original setting of Proverbs. Toward the beginning of this series, we mentioned that some of Proverbs looks like it comes from the setting of a royal palace where a king is instructing his son, or maybe a king is instructing others there who are there to learn, to become officials and leaders within the government of Israel, and to learn how to apply God's wisdom to their roles as leaders. But there's also a lot in Proverbs that looks at it from not only a king to training those that would serve in his administration, but also from a father to a son, more of a home setting. And so we see the leadership of a father. We see the leadership of a king. And so some of the things that we're going to say tonight, you know, might be more appropriate in a political arena, say with a king or a governmental leader. But a lot of the principles of leadership apply to many different areas of our lives, whether it be leading people in government or leading people in a church or a Sunday school class or leading a family as a husband or father, as a mother, as a wife. And so a lot of these apply to us in various situations of life. And I think that there's many things here that we can apply to us. And really, in some ways, what Proverbs gives us is a manual for leadership. And it gives us a lot of different principles of how we should act toward others, how we should have the kind of character that is worthy of the leadership role that we have. And so there's many, many things here in Proverbs that applies to us. And obviously, Proverbs is written within the context of a God-fearing nation, a nation who desires to serve God and to worship God. And so we read in the opening chapter of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. And so Proverbs assumes, really, it assumes the law of Moses. It assumes God's word. And here is wisdom for everyday living for those that are seeking to live according to God's word. But there's also many principles here that could apply even more generally in life to even a king or a leader that is not necessarily a follower of God or a believer in Jesus Christ. And the reason that is so is because God, his principles are not only taught in his word, but his principles are also ingrained in his whole creation. So that when his word says that if you lead with righteousness and justice and integrity, your kingdom will prosper. Well, someone who is leading, even though they may not have ever read God's word, when they lead with justice and with integrity, oftentimes their kingdom does prosper. And it's blessed because that's the way that God has ordered his world. God has ordered his world with design and with orderliness and with purpose so that those who follow God's principles can enjoy the blessings that come from living in harmony with their creator and with in harmony with God's creation. And so there's much here that we can learn. Really, the core of the lesson is on the godly character that a wise leader should have. And much of the lesson is taken up with these different characteristics. And really, it's in a lot of these characteristics that we can find application for our own lives. Whether or not we're a governmental leader or a leader in our homes or a leader in our church, wherever we are, we're going to have influence on other people. And all of these characteristics should be a part of our lives as Christians. And so the first one that he mentions is that a leader should be righteous, because God is righteous. Righteousness has to do with doing what is right. It's conformity to a standard of right and wrong. It's conformity to a standard of holiness. God is the ultimate standard of that, isn't he? God's the ultimate standard of what is right. He is the ultimate standard of holiness. God has declared what is true and what is righteous, what is good. And those who would seek to be wise leaders would seek to emulate God and would seek to reign in line with God's character. Do you remember what Solomon asked for God came to Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want, and I'll bless you with it. Wisdom. That even in of itself was wise, wasn't it? It was wise to ask for more wisdom. And so God blessed him with wisdom. And the reason that Solomon gave, he said, Lord, I want wisdom because I need wisdom to rule this great people of yours, to rule it with righteousness, to rule it with justice and integrity. And so that's what Solomon desired, because he wanted to lead his kingdom in the way that God runs his world, with righteousness. And Proverbs says that when a kingdom is run on righteousness, that it prospers and the people experience that joy and that peace and that prosperity. And one of the things that I really like that he did in this lesson, I don't know if you had a chance to read it ahead of time or noticed that he did this, but I really liked how in each of these categories of godly qualities, he also showed how these qualities show up in the New Testament, and specifically in the qualifications for church leaders, like in 1 Timothy 3 or Titus chapter 1, where there are described the qualities and the qualifications that are to be a part of pastors and deacons and church leaders. And it's interesting how many of these parallel, how they match up. And so a king in the Old Testament is to be someone of righteousness, but so is a pastor or a deacon or a leader in the church. So is a father, a husband in his home. We all should be people of righteousness. Another thing that Proverbs teaches the leader is that he should not be greedy. He should not be greedy. Proverbs 29 verse 4 says, the king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it. Isn't it interesting how it seems like no matter who you elect to go to Washington, D.C., that it doesn't take very long before they're corrupted by the system there? And you can cast everybody out of Washington, and you can start all over with a new House of Representatives and a new Senate, a new president, and it won't take very long for them all to fall into the same patterns and routines. Why? Because there's all this money floating around Washington, isn't there? There's a lot of money floating around Washington, a lot of influence with that money, and a lot of lobbyists lobbying for bills, lobbying for legislation, saying, if you get this legislation passed, I'll scratch your back and I'll do something for your district in your home state. And it's tough. You know, it's tough to fight that. And so Proverbs warns a king, it warns judges about not taking bribes, not being influenced by money, because money corrupts, doesn't it? Money corrupts, power corrupts. And so Proverbs warns against that and says, you need to not fall in love with money. Don't fall in love with power, influence. Instead, the leader needs to be someone who rules by justice and righteousness. Paul says the same thing of church leaders in 1 Timothy, that a pastor should not be a lover of money. So, and really that's true of all of us as Christians, isn't it? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. So when we start to love money, then we're on a wrong path. So definitely true of leaders. Also, Proverbs talks about the danger of substances. One of the things that Proverbs talks about a lot is alcohol and strong drink and the dangers of that. And we could apply a bunch of other things to that category too, can't we? We have alcohol, but in our day, we have access to all kinds of things that can impair your judgment and that can cause you to be addicted to them. All kinds of various drugs, whether they be illegal drugs or even prescription medications. It seems like our society is becoming more and more of a percentage of our society is using drugs and becoming addicted to them. And it has a ripple effect on the people around them. And especially for a leader needs not to be someone who is intoxicated, someone whose judgment is hindered. A leader needs to be someone who is sober, who is alert, who is self-controlled. And so many, many warnings in Proverbs to stay away from alcohol and things that would impair judgment. Paul says the same thing about church leaders. They should not be given to wine in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've also already seen this in Proverbs, but one of the things that Proverbs emphasizes to young men and to those aspiring to leadership is to watch out for the strange woman, using Proverbs language. Be careful of the lure, the pull of sexual immorality. of unfaithfulness to your spouse, because sexual sin undermines a ruler's moral authority. How many times have you seen in government someone's career ruined by a sexual scandal? It happens a lot, doesn't it? It happens in government. It happens in business. Unfortunately, it happens in the church as well. And it's something that should not happen in the church at all. But it's also a warning to people in other types of leadership that a person in leadership needs to demonstrate character. And if a person in leadership is not demonstrating character in his family, in this arena, then how can he be trusted in other areas of leadership? And so it undermines a ruler's moral authority. Proverbs also emphasizes that a leader should have personal integrity. Just keeping their word, doing what is right, doing what is fair, following the laws. No leader is above the law. And so a person of integrity. Also, a leader should fear God. Fear God. And one of the reasons why this is so is because the fear of God is a great antidote to pride, isn't it? And oftentimes, leaders, especially kings, sovereign over their territories, kings can become incredibly proud and filled with power. Just read some of the kings in the Old Testament, like in the book of Daniel, where you have Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar basically saying, what God is there that's going to stop me from doing what I want to do? I'm going to throw you into the lion's den. I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace, and you're going to bow down to me. And he's just incredibly proud and lifted up in arrogance. And what does God do to Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel chapter 4, he takes him, causes him to become insane, and he drives him out into the wilderness like a wild animal. What's that?
Gave him an attitude adjustment.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Gave him an attitude adjustment. I love the very end of Daniel 4. There's a phrase, something like, and when he came to himself, or when he came to his senses, it's God brought his senses back to him, and he realized how proud and foolish he had been. But that's what leadership, that's what power can do. It can cause someone to be incredibly arrogant and prideful and thinking that they can conquer the world and they don't need God. But the fear of the Lord causes us to humble ourselves. It causes us to humble ourselves before God. It causes us to humble ourselves before others. And the other thing that he points out in this too is that when we fear God appropriately, then we don't have to be afraid of what other people think. We don't have to be men pleasers if we are fearing God. And a lot of times leaders can fall into that trap of wanting to please people and do what people want. And so they end up being fearful of people, but really they need to be fearful of God and following him. A leader also is someone who needs to earnestly seek wisdom. In the Old Testament, the king was to have a copy of the word of God. In fact, he was to make his own copy of the law. He was to take the time to do his own handwritten copy of the law so that that would sink into him, sink into his thinking, and that he would remember what he had written and that it would serve as a constant reminder of God's truth. And so he mentions in the lesson that if we don't have truth, if we don't have God's word, then really it's difficult to lead with any kind of integrity, with any kind of righteousness or consistency. And that's definitely true in the church, that as the church, we can't be just making up things as we go along. A church needs to be governed by the word of God and by what God has spoken to us. A ruler judges justly. He does what is right. He treats people fairly. He doesn't let people get away with things. He punishes the guilty. He holds people accountable. He is concerned about the downtrodden, those who are being afflicted. Same thing with leaders in the home. If we're parents, we need to give discipline justly, don't we? If we're in leaders in government, then we need to exercise our leadership and administer the laws justly. If we are leader in a church, then we need to seek to lead that church and lead people according to the principles of God's word, which teach us justice and fairness and what is right. A leader also protects the rights of the righteous and shows compassion to the helpless. A leader is someone who takes notice not only of those who are of standing or those who have riches or honor, but a leader is also taking notice of those who are lower and they're in need and they need someone to protect them. Proverbs 29, verse 7 says, "The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such concern." And so those who are righteous will watch out for those who are downtrodden. And he also says that leaders have an impact on people. Leaders have an impact on people. I've read a lot of different books on leadership, and it seems like one of the definitions of leadership that pops up again and again in various kinds of books, whether it be a book on business leadership or church leadership or family leadership, one of the words that keeps coming up over and over again is the word influence. That this is what a leader is. A leader is someone who influences other people. And doesn't even have to be someone with a title. A leader is not always necessarily somebody who's an elected official or who has an official title or a position. A leader is someone who leads people. A leader is someone who influences people. And that influence can be in a good direction or it can be in a bad direction, can it? But a righteous leader, a wise leader, is going to seek to use his influence and the relationships that he has with people to lead them in a right way. And that comes through his character. It comes through a godly example. And so leaders need to emulate God's character in all of these different ways. And this is just a sample from the book of Proverbs. Also, Proverbs talks about those who are under leaders, those who are under authority. And Proverbs tells us that we need to be in submission to those that are in authority over us. We need to respect and obey those who are over us. Proverbs 24:21 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king." And so we're to obey those that are in authority over us, whether that be in government. Paul says in Romans 13 that we are to obey kings and authorities because every human ruler that there is there because of the divine providence of God. God has allowed them to rule. And so we are to follow them. Of course, there are exceptions when that ruler tells us to specifically disobey God. Then we can't follow. There we need to obey God rather than men. But aside from that, we need to submit ourselves to those that are in authority over us in the government, in our homes. If we're children, we need to submit ourselves to our parents. If in the workplace, we submit ourselves to our employers, to our bosses. In the church has leadership that we submit to. And so all of this is in line with wisdom and with God's will. And just thinking about government, one of the things that is striking to me is all the examples in the Bible of men and women who were very, very righteous people living in pagan foreign lands. Just one example of that is Daniel. I love the book of Daniel because Daniel shows us, I think we as Christians in 2016 and moving forward in the United States of America, we need to spend more time in the book of Daniel. We need to spend more time in the book of Nehemiah and read about how these men lived in those places. Because Nehemiah was a God-fearing man, but he was an official in Persia. Daniel was a God-fearing man. His friends were God-fearing men, and they lived in a pagan, idolatrous Babylon. And yet, somehow, they not only survived, they thrived, didn't they? Not only were they able to balance obeying the king and obeying God and survive, but they also rose to great positions of influence, didn't they? Daniel became basically the right-hand man of the whole kingdom in Babylon. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, which is a very important position. And so these people rose to positions of influence. And so I think one of the things that we need to learn from things like Proverbs, as well as the examples of men like Daniel and Nehemiah, is how do we do what Jesus taught us to do when he said to be as innocent or as righteous as doves, but as shrewd or cunning as serpents? I think that's how we're going to have to live in America, because more and more our religious liberties are being taken away. More and more the world's pressure is coming on Christians to adapt and to change and to give up their standards of righteousness and ethics and morality. And so we need to learn some lessons from men like Daniel and Nehemiah, and learn some lessons from Proverbs of how can we obey the king, obey our government, but not compromise our loyalty to God. So we need some wisdom on that. And there's some good things in Proverbs that teaches us how to do that. And then he finishes up the lesson with just a reminder that in everything that Proverbs says, and really all the examples that we see in the Old Testament of kings, whether it be David or Solomon, really they're all in an imperfect way pointing to an ultimate king, aren't they? And that is Jesus Christ. So everything that Proverbs has to say about how a king should rule, Jesus Christ exemplifies that, doesn't he? Jesus is the perfect righteous one. He is fully just. He is one who is concerned about the lowly. He is one who does what is right. He has full integrity. And so Jesus is the perfect example of this. And so if we are leading in any area of our lives, if we're leading in business, if we're leading in government, if we're leading in our homes, if we're leading in the church, then there's a lot that we can learn from Proverbs, and there's a lot that we can learn from the example of the Lord Jesus, isn't there? And so I hope that this will help you if you're in a leadership position of any kind. But even if not, even if you're not in an official leadership position, as I mentioned before, we can all influence people, can't we? We can all influence people, whether we have a title or not. And as we become this kind of a person with this kind of a character, we can influence others for good. And we can help bring other people closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whether we're in official leadership, we all need to be more righteous. We all need to be more just. We all need to be more sober-minded and concerned for one another. And so I hope that this lesson is helpful to us, whether you have an official leadership capacity or not. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Lord God, we come before you and we do ask for your wisdom, Lord, that you would help us to be wise leaders in our areas of influence, as well as humble and obedient followers where we're in places where we have leaders over us. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray for the upcoming elections, not only for our country, but for our state, for our city. Lord, we need leaders of influence and leaders of character at all levels of our government. We need leaders of character in our businesses that are concerned not only with making a profit, but also in doing good for people and for society. We need leaders of character in our homes. We need leaders of character absolutely in your church, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to more and more apply these principles to our own lives. Help us to influence those around us. May we become better leaders and help us to raise up better leaders. We pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.